Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Siva Maples.
And Erica.
And today we are talking about the diet. So I just want to give a quick apology to everyone that's listening because last episode I really vamped up. Lucy thinks Ricky's trying to murder her because I believed that that was the next one we'd be talking about.
I think you really wanted to jump into him trying to murder
her. I really did. It's such a good episode.
It's a fun one.
Yeah, it's such a good episode. But I totally skipped over the actual episode called The Diet that we're talking about today. It aired on October 29th, 1951. We had a few guest stars. One was Marco Rizzo, and then the other was John Stevenson. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Marco Rizzo is in a lot of Lucy episodes. He's been
This is his first appearance, though, in the series. And then John Stevenson also shows up quite a bit. He's the announcer in this one. So a quick synopsis of this episode. The performer, Joanne, at Ricky's nightclub is quitting the show and Lucy wants the job. But Ricky stalls and tells her that she's too fat. So in the audition, Lucy tries on Joanne's dress and tears it at the seam. That's what he says. Tears it at the seam. And then undaunted, Lucy begins to a strict diet and exercise regime so that she can fit into the size 12 dress.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack in just that synopsis alone. Yes. Oh my God. 2021 would not be accepting of this episode, just FYI.
Right. And then even reading up on this episode, you know, people are going, yeah, you're right. Lucille Ball was still fat. So this is a perfect episode. And I was like,
now we have a reason why your star looks fat on your television. It's because she was. My God.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
This one was based on, again, like most of them, My Favorite Husband.
Yeah, at least the first, few seasons. This was...
The Iris and Loses Easter.
Yes.
Is what it's based off of. Yeah.
That was the diet episode 123.
What's interesting is that like a lot of these, they did kind of a short stack of episodes that they had put aside for when Lucille Ball went to have her baby. So they introduced these via a flashback. And this one was also introduced via a flashback. Not initially, but later on,
yeah,
when she went and had her baby. So it was kind of like, I think Ethel was, making lemon juice or something like that. And she said, now Lucy's watching her figure. Remember when she tried to do that?
Yeah.
And it fades away.
Goes into the back. Yeah.
Right.
You should see in my notes, I wrote that the plot of this episode, this is something that they said. Yeah. The plot of this episode is very timely as Lucy's still trying to lose her weight. She gained during her recent pregnancy and in parentheses, I was like, I think she looked great. And honestly, I wish I looked that great after I was pregnant.
She's in a literal dress after having a baby. And it's like, let's make an episode around her fatness so the audience can understand
why she's fat. Yeah.
She's fat. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but that's not even counting what they did with Ethel's weight the entire time.
Oh my goodness, entire time. I don't know how she dealt with that. In all honesty, I think I would have gone crazy.
Probably seeing the paychecks that came with it.
Well, that's fair. that makes things that people say easier to deal with.
So it opens up where they're all feeling full. After dinner, they're all laying around in the living room. I don't think they're watching television or anything, but they're sitting around like just bloated and
very gross, content.
Very content after eating oysters. Do you like oysters?
I have avoided ever trying them because they look really slimy.
Okay, then you are after my own heart because I cannot.
I really like seafood in general, but just something about oysters, you know. My grandpa, I've watched him eat them and I'm just like, ooh. There's nothing that makes me want to put that in my mouth.
Yeah, one time I visited. Don't want to cut that.
Yeah, maybe. I wanted to say that's what she said, but you can cut that out.
And then we'll flash back to the milk. See, yeah. I'm telling you, it's yes. all, it, this is.
Yes, it's just all going to connect. Just,
this is a Lucy episode.
Oh, no. Alrighty, well.
So what I was going to say is one time I visited with my family in El Salvador, and they had for dinner, they had, everybody had oysters, and I'm just sitting there coming freshly from the US of A, and they're just like, where's the burgers? You know, this is not, this looks gross. All you people are gross. But anyway, Lucy, now they were eating oysters. Now, do you know this R theory that they reference? I know because finding a pearl in your oyster thing, and then Ricky says he already has, like, because he has the most R's in his name.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I know that there's a theory or a joke or a something known about it. I just wondered if you, I don't know, how many R's you have in your name based on finding a pearl in your oyster.
Well, I have no R's in my name, so I guess I'll never find a pearl in my oyster.
So then the start of weight talk begins.
Yeah, and Lucy, she swears that she's the same size that she was. Right. So I feel like everyone else is like, yes, I gained some weight. And Lucy was like, nope.
She's like, same size. 120 pounds when she married Ricky. And she's, you're right, trying to convince everybody else that no, she's still the same skinny girl that he married. But everyone else is, you know, admitting that no, you gain weight, you get comfortable, you get fat. I don't know.
Yeah. I just want to, I always thought it was interesting, like how she defended it, but if you think back at that time, and even now, you know, men leave women for a lot less, but weight is something that men leave women for a lot, you know. And so if you're gaining weight, you're not going to admit it, because
well, here's what's interesting, and again, this episode would not survive in 2021, but it brings up a lot of issues. For example, men are much more accepted to be chubbier, dad bods, all that stuff, and nobody cares unless it's like obese or, you know, just horrible looking or something. I don't know. But,
oh no.
But if you're, you know,
morbidly obese, yes.
Yeah, like you're ill, you're concerned for them. But that's when you start to raise flags, I think. But with women, it's like you had a baby and you didn't snap back to bikini model. You grew a whole human, you
know? Yeah. And it's crazy how much, I mean, even in my own life, you know, how often it's like, well, you look really good if I lose like a few pounds. And I just feel like that always pushes that, like, you'll look really good if you got thinner.
Yeah.
You don't look really good now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that whole, like,
well, then stay off Instagram because
they
will, insecurities are real. Even if you wake up feeling good one day, you log on to Instagram, it's like, oh, that's right, I don't.
Right. And I think the biggest thing with that is just remembering that that's all fake.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's definitely very, very edited and filtered and
perceptions
posed very specifically. But I think it all does surround that central idea that, like, for women, you gotta be skinny, you gotta maintain that weight.
In the episode, after the weight talk begins, Ricky just bust out a scale and like, stand on it. Right. And she's like 132 pounds. Well, first she's 47 pounds because she's leaning on them. But the real weight is 132, which is not bad, my goodness. And she was a tall lady.
Right, she is a tall woman. Yeah, a
tall, slim lady. And so on behalf of our tubby trio, we welcome you to our flabby foursome. Oh my gosh.
Oh my, yes.
So a lot of talk of Lucy being fat and making her feel awful about it. Well, she makes herself feel awful about it too.
So after that, that's when Ricky gets the phone call.
Jerry just always calls.
At the worst times, really. He should just know, like, I don't know why Ricky wasn't like, don't call me at home.
Right.
Of course, well, they didn't have cell phones.
Can't make it. So, the girl for the dance. Yeah, so Jerry always calls. I love the next part where I think obviously he says the name Joanne, and Joanne can't make it. So Fred's trying to figure out who is Joanne, and no one's listening to him.
Who's Joanne? Right. Who's Joanne? And, who's Joanne?
And Ethel's like, hey, who's Joanne? Oh, she's the girl Ricky dances with at the club. What was I doing wrong?
I love that.
I like that because it looks like he broke the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. And just kind of spoke to the audience. Like,
yeah. What was I doing wrong?
Yeah.
I do have to wonder, I don't know for sure, so if anyone knows, this would be really cool. But I was wondering if Joanne was named after Joanna Perez, who's the wife of Pepito Perez.
Oh, Pepito. Yeah, maybe. Because she did name a lot of characters after real life people.
Mm-hmm. She was a former dancer, and she actually ran the dance academy that provided the students and the scenery for Little Ricky School Pageant later on. And, so.
And they're the ones who had the last
the first pilot. Yeah.
Flashback to that. So they, so Joanne can't make it. They need a girl, another girl to dance.
Did they not have like backup?
You mean like a stand-in?
Performers? Yeah.
Yeah, because something could happen.
It's a nice night act, right? Like,
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You didn't have like stand-ins or someone just...
Understudies,
that's the word
I'm looking for. I was searching for it, yeah.
But if they did, then what would Lucy have to complain about? And where would all these episodes be if they just had all the answers ready?
True.
So then she, of course, begins to suggest that she become the dancer, as always. And she starts to dance in front of him and shake her hips and all that, and hangs up the phone. It's like, no, you can't. But why not? And he's like, I'm about to use it against you because you're fat. You know, because she's dogging
you're
herself.
Too fat.
So you're too fat.
And so, also, I want you to be a wife and a mother, cook my food, clean my house,
shoes, my slippers,
and be the mother to my children.
Jeez. Wow.
Alrighty.
It's true 1950s, but what's great is that she never was just all those things. I mean, that's why we had all these episodes. So then does she then speak to Ethel and say that she wants to do this, but she has to lose the weight, or does it immediately go over to the club where all the girls are?
I'm going to be honest. I forgot to watch this in preparation, so I'm going off of memory. So I failure. No, I'm just kidding.
We may not want to tell that.
That's fine. Listen, I'm trying to be open and honest. You know, I've watched it enough that like,
yeah,
I know this
mind.
It's not like I've never seen this episode. I've seen it a lot.
I think we have like file cabinets in our brain.
Right, exactly.
Like season 6, episode 4.
Exactly. I just can't do the like second to second, you know, rewatch that I usually do. And I feel like I have good excuses that I won't go into for why I didn't rewatch it.
Oh, well, it's easy. You have a kid. That's it.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
So what I do remember, go on.
I was going to say, I think if I'm correct, and I could be wrong, that it just jumps straight over to
the club. Yeah, it does. And what is funny about this, because I did watch it yesterday, and it did trigger something that I hadn't thought of before, which is the scene there is a bunch of young girls that are auditioning for the part, and here comes quote unquote frumpy Lucy, right? Which she isn't, but you know,
they definitely had her dress kind of weird though.
Yeah, but it reminds me of that episode of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour where Lucy wants a career. Do you remember that episode where she goes up to the office to be the girl Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's other girls auditioning to be Girl Fridays, which is just a fancy word for an assistant. And the girls are all pretty young and, you know, dressed very, you know, cute. And she's the frumpy one again, and she feels insecure about herself. It's just, it was a carbon copy, and that just made me think of that.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thought, because, you know, we look back at her now and it's like, you weren't frumpy and you don't have to worry about that. But she probably, you know, was able to play it so well because she did at some point feel, you know, that way and insecure, and even the best people feel like that. So
You know, when you hear her talk, or if you read her autobiography, you know, they're back in the 30s, 40s and 50s. The beautiful actresses were the damsels in distress. They were the beautiful leading actresses. And she said she never felt that she was that. So what she had to offer was her comedy, her physical comedy, mm-hmm. even though she's a beautiful woman, but she put herself up on against the likes of the Grace Kellys and, you know, Lana Turners and things like that. So she made herself just, I guess, feel that way. So she had her comedy to offer the world. Thankfully.
This is the first time that we hear her maiden name too, I believe.
McGillicuddy.
A fun fact, I didn't actually know this while I was doing some research, that their original name was supposed to be Teitelbaum, but it was deemed too Jewish.
Do you mean as her maiden name or as
her maiden name? Her maiden name. You hear that and you're like, yes, that does sound very Jewish, and she's Scottish, so
McGillicuddy
works much better, I think.
Easier. So after the mean girls, the younger women, are making her feel old, I like how one of them says, you know, I've known Ricky Ricardo a long time, and honey, you're not his type. Ma'am, I'm exactly his type.
At that point, I would have been like, I'm his wife.
Right. So crazy. Oh, but now that, you know, all body types are celebrated these days, it's funny to see what they considered heavy and not acceptable for a dancer.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Crazy. They wanted stick figures.
Yes.
So they wanted her to be a size 12.
12, yes. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't. She was too fat. And she rips the back of the dress. So they're like, I'm still too fat.
I like that costume. That's one of my favorite costumes that I've seen her wear, because when you see it in color too, the red, it's really pretty, it's sparkly. But yeah, she tries on the costume. Ricky tells her, here, go try it on. And she's she tears it, because of course she does. And so she says, it's not a problem, I can fix it. And Ricky's like, there's no way you can get into this costume. So she wants to lose the weight. She's determined to lose the weight and fit into it.
Yes.
In like a few days, which is crazy.
A few days, which, you know, she does use things like the steam cabinet, which is known to really help, because it basically is just sweating you out. You know, you lose all that water weight, mm-hmm. but not healthy.
No. You know what's interesting is, because I think it cuts to her running around the apartment in sweats, right?
Yes.
Ethel's like counting the time.
Yeah.
It's so odd to me to, there's only been maybe a handful of times where they're both, or one of them is in sweats and a sweater. And it's mm-hmm. just odd, because I'm so used to, you know, pantsuit or a fancy dress or something, but yeah, they're in sweats. Or she is.
She's in sweats. So she does, yeah, the workout routine, and then she cuts back on what she's eating. She's like a celery stalk for dinner with A1 sauce.
No, that scene was cruel, because they're all eating like this big, you know, juicy steak dinner in front of them.
Yeah, they picked the best meal that they could possibly have. And of course you have to think, like, this was hosted in the Ricardo's apartment, right? So who cooked that meal?
Yeah, Ethel serving it, and Lucy's just has a celery stick. And then of course
the thought is that probably Lucy cooked the meal, because it's in her apartment.
Worse. That's even
right.
More
so
cruel.
She had to cook this wonderful meal for everyone. and then not eat any of it.
Oh, and then,
and then watch them eat it in front of her.
Yeah. And make all kinds of like, this tastes delicious. Pass me the potatoes. Uh-huh. And of course, there's a random dog that appears. Yes,
this is the first Butch. And last time that we see the Mertz's dog.
What happened Butch? To Butch? I'd like to have seen more of Butch, but you know, they never address what happened to him.
Maybe he died from hunger.
From me.
Because they wouldn't feed him. I'm just kidding. They did feed him, didn't they?
Yes, they only fed him.
Just him.
Here you are, Ricky.
Oh, thank you.
Here you are, Fred. A nice, juicy steak.
Oh, I love steak. Hope you don't mind us bringing Butch along.
Not at all. If he behaves himself, we'll give him a bone.
Oh, he's a good dog. Best dog.
Here you are, Lucy. Oh, no. That's yours. How's your steak, Fred?
Perfect. Just the way I like it.
Is your steak all right, Ricky?
Oh, delicious. How's yours?
Fine. Nice and tender.
Good.
How's your celery, Lucy? Oh, delicious, thanks. Is it cooked enough for you? Oh, yes, just the way I like it. Nice and tender.
Will you pass the potatoes, Rick?
Sure thing. Here you go.
Thanks.
Oh, could I have a biscuit, Fred?
Sure, you're going to have a biscuit. Excuse me. Thank you.
Want a biscuit, Ricky?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, Fred, could I have the potatoes back, please?
Sure you may. You know, I'm forgetting about poor old Butch.
Hey, yeah, don't forget about him.
I'm going to give him a nice, juicy piece of this steak. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Come on, Butch. Sit up there, boy. There you go. Sit up now. There you go. You going to thank me? Huh?
Well, I can't stand anymore. I'll be back later. I stay out of the kitchen.
How about another biscuit, Ethel?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
There you are.
Thanks. Hey, Fred. Keep these? Sure, these are good for you. Full of iron.
There you are, Ricky.
Thank you.
Hey, I didn't give Butch anything. Here you are, Butch. And you're going to thank me? Nice, Butch.
Who's under there?
Who's under the table?
Nobody here but us dogs.
Lucy, come on from under the table. Now, what do you got to say for yourself? Lucy.
All right, you don't have to get nasty about it. I'm leaving.
Where are you going?
I'm going down to the corner bakery and smell of bread.
But I just want to point out real quick that in season 6, when little Ricky gets a dog, Fred says that there's a no pet clause. But we also know that Mrs. Trumbull has a cat. So yes, what's going
he's
on?
The,
what's
he's
going
the
on?
Landlord. He can get all the cats and dogs he wants. There's a closet.
Right.
It applies to everybody else paying rent, not him.
Yes. He just didn't again, want the dog. Until it was named Fred. So
right. That's what I was gonna say. Later on when little Ricky gets his dog then and the bird and the goldfish and all the other things. So like you said, after the random dog scene, Lucy comes in. And she sneaks out of the apartment to sneak back into the apartment, get under the table and pretend to be the dog. You know, what I find funny about this and not funny, like hilarious funny, it's just kind of odd that, you know, you've got this full grown woman who's bouncing the table around because she doesn't fit under the table. And you, if that happened in your house, the first thing you do is stand up and look underneath, but they're all asking who's under there. No one thinks to look
under the table.
Yeah. So that was funny.
It's That's where we used to suspend disbelief, right? Like,
yeah,
like in horror movies, yeah, when people run towards the, who does that in real life? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Run away. But
so she's in the human pressure cooker and trying to lose the last five pounds in 5 hours. Is that a thing?
I think you can't, because I know that
I'm getting on Amazon right now. Hang on.
Do it. Pressure cooker. Steam cabinets are real. That's what she was using.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It wasn't a pressure cooker, but it was a steam cabinet. And you see another one like that, and here's Lucy, actually. Her brother-in-law, Harrison Otis Carter, buys her one for a bribe. But before we move on, please, I just really want to point out a mistake that they made in shooting that I think is crazy.
I love these.
So when she is trying on that dress and it rips, you've got to go back. She turns around and for a second you can see her bra.
Oh.
Which at that time, like,
scandalous.
Yeah. It's so surprising they didn't catch it and cut it out. Like, maybe they couldn't, but it just seemed,
it would probably go with the continuity. It probably would mess up the scene.
Right. It seems so strange though at the time that that got through, you know. Yeah.
And no blurring effect. Maybe they didn't have
no
blurring effect. Ricky had, or Desi hadn't invented it just yet.
Just put a pack of cigarettes over the back. Put an ad. Yes, Philip Morris. Oh no.
So then they
do they smoke in this scene?
Oh gosh, I don't think so.
I can't, not in this scene specifically, but I cannot remember if they, I know in the next episode they had some pretty good placements of it.
When they first opened up the episode, when they're all sitting there bloated.
Oh, they're smoking.
Everybody smoking? Yeah, they're
right,
smoking.
Of course.
Yeah, of course they're smoking.
I mean, of course
they're smoking. First season, they need to plug that sponsor.
Sitting around smoking, that makes sense.
Yes, one does. So then they cut to the famous Cuban Pete number at the club, because she we skipped over the part where Ethel comes in to check on her to see if she actually lost the weight, and there's just a little towel left in there, and she says, Lucy, is this all that's left? And she's like, unfortunately, so she lost the weight in 5 hours. Just crazy. I still don't know how that happens, but I'm sure science. So they cuts to the famous Cuban Pete number, which I just love, because this is the number that they did on the road to convince the network that they are loved by audiences. They did around the country, Lucio Ball and Desi Arnaz did the Cuban Pete number. So of course, Ricky starts the number not knowing that Lucy was his dancing partner.
Yes, and then she comes out and I just love how he reacts to that. Like,
she's so sassy.
It keeps going. Yeah. I think it's so great. I love watching when it like comes to fruition. And I always wonder, like, I know she ended up getting carried out on a stretcher, right?
Right.
But she
from malnutrition.
But she did she did really good. And I just always wonder, like, why does he keep saying no? It would just be so much easier if he
because there's only room for one.
Well, that's true. Yeah, supposed to be his wife, but I don't know. It's always like, well, it works better if you just. It would work better if you just said yes, worked with her a little bit.
Now
then we wouldn't have the show.
She wrote the she wrote the Sally Sweet part. Lucille Ball did.
Really?
She's not credited. Yeah, but she actually, you know, they call me Sally Sweet. I'm the king of the Lassie Street.
Yeah.
They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go tick, tick, boom, tick, tick, boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the craze of my native street. When I start to dance, everything goes tick, tick, boom, tick, tick, boom. Then señoritas, they sing and how they swing with this rumbero. It's very nice, so full of spice. And when they're dancing, they bring a happy ring, a very carol. Bye.
for Mary. I come from Havana, and it's always mañana. So, señorita. Excuse me, Mr. Pete.
Yes, ma'am.
Have the Cubans a different beat? If they have, will you teach me to chick, chick, chicky boom, chick, chicky boom?
Si, señorita, I know that you will like a chicky boom chick.
Yeah, ma'am.
It's very nice, so full of spice. I place my hand on your hip, and if you will just give me your hand, then we shall try. Yes, you and I.
And of course, it's spoofed on The Mask, starring Jim Carrey. And
yes, I love that. That movie is a weird movie. It's a very weird movie. Mm-hmm. But I could watch that scene just over and over again yeah. because it's so funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of people attribute the Cuban Pete song to The Mask, which it's like, no.
it actually first appeared in the movie Cuban Pete. The film was 1946. It came out, Cuban Pete, which he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you knew this, but Lucille Ball's cousin, Cleo, has an uncredited role in the film.
I did not know that.
So that's kind of cool. I didn't know
that
either.
In the Cuban Pete?
In the Cuban Pete.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
It was also composed in 1936 by Joseph Norman. So definitely not
a Cuban.
Jim Carrey, The Mask.
No.
First time.
So then, of course, like you said, she's wheeled out on a stretcher because she's exhausted, probably dehydrated, and is suffering from malnutrition. And then they wheel her out. She whispers over to Ethel she points over to the closet, or, you know, maybe it's a broom closet. And she's like, look inside there. And then Ethel opens up the thing, and there's poor Joanne tied up like she's been kidnapped. Creepy.
Which is creepy. I think that's not Joanne. That's the replacement for her, I think.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Joanne was initially. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They picked her replacement.
Poor girl's just tied up in a closet for the whole time. Wow. That's crazy. But that was fun.
So, interestingly, I don't know if you caught this. It's a bit hard to catch, but when Marco, in his scene, and I forgot to mention this too, sorry, but in his scene, as he's passing past Ricky, he calls him Desi instead of...
Yeah, I wasn't aware it was this episode, but I'm very aware that he calls him that many times. Like, I think there was one in the apartment. I think it's the one where they have the dog and they're trying to hide the dog, or Lucy's hiding, I think, something like that. The point is, Marco comes over to audition, and as he, or to practice, not audition, to practice. And when they... when he leaves, he's like, okay, I'll see you at the club, Desi, or Des.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like,
dun, dun, dun. You
know? It's actually an actor. Yeah.
Okay, we have to talk about the fact that this is the first episode that we hear the famous spider voice. Which, I don't know that I'm definitely not doing it right, but it comes from the radio commercial she did playing Little Miss Muffet.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that commercial?
You know something, this is crazy. From the last episode that we did, I have been searching far and wide. And now I have the My Favorite Husband, CD set of the episodes, but I haven't listened to every single one, although it does have commercials. I cannot for the life of me track down the actual commercial.
I've seen it someplace.
Yes,
I've seen it. But I don't know where.
Yeah. So if anybody out there has it, please.
Yeah, we'll put it on our Instagram and our Facebook.
Email it to havingaballpod@gmail.com. Send it to our Instagram at havingaballpod, any of it, because I have tried like crazy. I find every other commercial that she's done, right? And I know the sound that she makes, and I don't do it justice, but it's the one.
Yeah.
but I just, it's hard to find the actual, even the audio of it. But I know it's a Jell-O commercial, right? With that she's the Miss Muffet or Muppet. Muffet? Muffet.
Muffet.
Yeah.
Muppet. Muffet.
Muffet.
M-U-F-F-E-T. Muffet.
Yeah.
So
that is the first time we hear it after she's told she has malnutrition or
yeah.
she's been diagnosed.
Ew. And she, yeah. So that actually, it, as you know, it becomes like a trademark of her character.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you knew this, but Gail Storm stole it from her sitcom, for her sitcom radio, My Little Margie from 1952 to 55. She changed it to like a gargling sound, but it's the same type of manner because she liked it so much.
Oh, I did not know that.
Huh. So, yeah.
It probably didn't have the same impact. Because Lucy always created her own sound effects. I mean,
right.
Everything.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those where it's like, okay, you took that from someone. And it wasn't so far away that they wouldn't be able to know the resemblance between
yeah.
that sound and Lucille Ball, you know, like yeah. 55 and 51, you know, it's not that far away, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I did not know that. Well, I felt like this one was a really short episode. I don't know why I felt like it just went by real quick.
I think it was just pretty straightforward. There weren't a whole lot of guest stars.
That's true.
And there weren't, it was a pretty simple
plot
with not a crazy about going on, you know, that the big things were the diet and the fact that at that time she felt she needed to go on it, which mm-hmm. is crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Doesn't
make sense. But it does for that time.
It does for that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really good. I think it was still a fun.
She looks so young.
Episode.
I did notice.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
She looks so young. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I, because as you know, my favorite series is the Here's Lucy series. So I watch that one a lot. And mm-hmm. so when I go back to like rewatch these, it always strikes me how young.
Yeah.
And
how long her career was, how long
oh,
she
my goodness,
extended
yes.
that character.
Yeah.
So
I do want to point out in these first episodes, even in this one, which is the third, mm-hmm. you can see that Ricky's still trying to find out, like find who he is, like really kind of get comfortable with his character. I don't think we see a comfortable Ricky for a while.
Like he's not the macho guy that he becomes later on,
right? Yeah you definitely see an increase in confidence and even the ability to play around a little bit with his character and feel a little bit more secure in Ricky Ricardo, because he wasn't an actor, and so this was a big step. You know, I mean, he was an actor, but like this was different. It was a TV show. It was different for all of them, but
yeah,
I think this is a big step for him.
Well, I think in the other, you know, like you said, he was an actor. And I think in the other roles that he was cast for, he was always the cliche character.
Right.
You know, so in this one, yeah, he played a Cuban, because you can't run away from that at all, given that accent of his. But I think he was more prominent because the I in I Love Lucy is him. So the show is really him showing you his life via, you know, his apartment with Lucy and all that. But he was more of the star, not in real life, perhaps, but in the show itself. I know I'm going to get all the Desmond.
Not in real life?
You know what I mean? I mean, all right, we'll just cut that out. You know,
no, we've got to keep that. No, that's the bloopers. Desi was not the star.
God. You know what I mean? Oh my God. All right. Well, this is fun. Join us next week.
Come back next week where we talk about how? Where Ziva does the show the on
her own. Ziva does the show on her own because or replaces me.
Oh no, the blasphemy of it all. I was gonna say, join us next week so that we can discuss how Desi becomes so enraged that he's not the star that he tries to murder Lucy.
Oh my god, that just took a turn.
I mean, if we're gonna talk about it again, we mentioned that just the title of that episode is so dark.
Murder. I mean, at least say Ricky's trying to get rid of her or something. But or like murder is so dark.
Yeah. And I feel like even if they're like, you know, Ricky tries to off Lucy, it's still the idea. But does he slip her a Mickey in milk? We'll talk about that later. Anyway,
Mickey
in milk.
Slip her a Mickey in milk. It's a lot of references we could go. Ziva's on a rampage tonight.
We're going to talk about that next week.
Okay, so next episode will be us discussing Lucy thinks Ricky is trying to murder her, and hilarity ensues because murder can be funny, apparently.
Yes. And that one will probably be a little bit longer because we've got so much to delve into. I think we'll be talking about not only the episode, but also a lot of people's opinions about this episode in general. Nowadays, there's a lot of people have a lot to say about this episode because it is very dark. It's a dark episode.
Well, I'm just picturing her with the pans. Yeah, a moving target with the pants. That's all I'm thinking about. But
so join us next time. I'm sorry. I was thinking about that whole episode again. So we will talk about it the next time we record. And I hope you guys follow us. Erica already mentioned we have our Instagram at Having a Ball Pod, our email at havingaballpodcast@gmail.com, and our Facebook Having a Ball Podcast. These are places you can go to find more information about what we're talking about. We'll post photos like people holding milk and
okay. Not aware. Make a mental note. Take a picture of self holding milk.
Yes. Erica will be holding the milk.
No caption. And then,
no caption. That needs to be your Halloween costume this year. Just
got milk.
Dressed up with some milk. But we'll post photos of, you know, any Lucille Ball or Desi Arnaz advertisements that we talk about. And if we can find ads like the Little Miss Muffet ad that we talked about in this episode, we will post that.
I would like
so that you guys can see what we're talking about.
Yeah, because that commercial haunts me that I can't find it. I can't. I found everything else, but not that. So
send that if you can, or send any questions and trivia to our email, and we will talk about them and try to answer any questions that you have in our next episode. Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Yep. Great day. A great day. You know, we could.